You're listening to The Threshing Floor.
Welcome to The Threshing Floor. I'm Randy Moggins. The website is threshingfloor-radio.com or threshingfloor-radio.podomatic.com. It is Labor Day, September 6th, 2011. Wow. Where has time gone? And this is kind of a step in and let's talk for a while kind of show. We are in difficult times and we are in interesting times, and the difference between the two is largely the dichotomy of the lives we live in this present realm. I think many people can feel right now the ramp up, the pressure that's in this world system. And it's light and dark, and it's very sharp, and as I talked about for a long time now, the shades of gray are slowly disappearing. We are in a time of black and white, and very sharp distinctions between the two. We've moved out of religion, or we're moving out of religion, depending on where you're at in this path. And we have to continue to do that because religion will kill us, but the spirit will set us free. I posted a word, I guess you would call it, to the blog earlier last week, August 30th. Called Watchmen to Warriors, The Battle Within. And we're going to focus on that today. I want to read it. Because this word wasn't just for me. It was for others as well. Because what we're doing is we're walking a path right now. If you look at the journey of life, as a mountain, we've descended from the mountain, which is the one, which is the kingdom of God, into an earthly realm, into a world where spirit and flesh are divided, and where each one of us has the journey to go back toward the Creator, the Father, the One. There are paths given to us. There are many paths that each one of us must walk. Not because there are many paths to God, but because there are many paths which we must walk as people. Each one of us has a soul walk that we're on. And each one of us is given different things that we need to conquer, that we need to overcome. Thus, our paths each are different, and yet, in one sense, they are the same. Let me read what I received in what I posted. He who has watched now battles. The walls are abandoned and the field is engaged. This war is of the heart and mind, of soul shadows and landscapes of the spirit. Do you feel the ground shift? You will stand. Do you feel the storm's fury? You will prevail. Your maps are useless, your scrolls outdated, your plans brought to naught. Burn them in the fires of battle and arc the sword within. The truth is within you, and so is the enemy. You who held death must now defeat him on the field of the soul. You who feared hell must know it is within you. Conquer them and save the world. For the warrior is the war, and he manifests the victory over self, which is the enemy. When the self is defeated, the dark ones have no blood on which to feed. There is no fear because there is no self. There is no death. There is no hell. Lose the world. The kingdom is within. Religion taught us to look outside ourselves, to look at the forms and shadows of the world, and to point fingers into landscapes. And this has been what has been called the watchman. Not the true watchman, but the watchmen who were set upon false walls. And these walls are crumbling, just as the world system itself is crumbling. We no longer live in a world of concrete realities. We live in a world of melting forces, of tides churning the oceans themselves, foaming. It is a time of the shaking. It is a time when man must deal with his own soul, when he must begin to deal with the inner, which then is reflected into the outer. Religion did not teach you this. Religion taught you that you change the externals. And because of that, most religious people caught in religious systems continue to tilt at windmills. I talked about it in this article. I talked about the Cervantes novel, Don Quixote. The novel which later became The Man of La Mancha. Quixote battling against windmills in an outer battle where he saw the windmills as four-armed monsters. The nemesis that he called the Enchanter. And like Quixote, we have tilted at windmills. We have battled dark shadows, which were not real forms, but were, in fact, a projection of our inner being and our outer projection. This was something that Carl Gustav Jung, the early father of analytic of psychology, talked about many times. He talked about the shadow side, the projection from within to the outer. Thus we create our enemies. Thus we create the forms of our warfare, and they come from within us and they go out. Many people would bristle at the idea that we are co-creators of reality, but in many ways we are. Because the reality that we see around us is a projection of a world that we were cast into. All of our trials, all of our troubles are the offspring of the internal wars of our soul. And as we begin to go towards the real war, the war that's within us, becomes more difficult. Many of us are battered and bruised and hurting. Many of us are dealing with things externalized, the fractures in our world system, the divisions in families, the divisions in religious structures. These are reflections of the divisions within our own souls and the need to redirect to the inner. To do this, we can't rely on the things of the world. We can't rely on the teachings that have been given to us, that have been altered, that have been changed, that have been slipstreamed into the world system as a control grid. This is religion. This is false religion. It is not the religion of the true God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to deal with our own weaknesses, and we can't do that alone. We've got to shore each other up. My role in this is to share my journey, to be as transparent as possible, and to hopefully be a forerunner for you who are out there who are struggling with these things. I think the post that I made, the Watchmen to Warriors post, The Battle Within, was an attempt to be a bit more transparent than I'd been in the past. Because, like a lot of other people, I followed patterns that were given to me, the patterns of the church, which were externalized forms, and I called myself a watchman. But using scripture to direct to the outer, to point to the windmill on the hillside as the monster, it's a false illusion. The world is going to fall apart very nicely by itself, thank you very much. It is. And if you look around right now, you see that the seams are bursting all around us. This is not some sort of dark apocalyptic vision. It is a reality, because we are at the end of an age. Ages overlap, so you move from one age into another, but it's not a seamless transition. You don't wake up one morning and find out that the world has changed. The world changes in a cycle. So many are caught in the old world right now, which is the physical realm. There are others who are moving into the spiritual realm, the spiritual earth, the second world, the new age. And they are straddling these worlds. This is the tension. They sense that something has changed irrevocably, and there's a sorrow with this. Some of you feel the tension. You feel distracted. You feel pain. Alternately, you feel joy. And you feel a deep focus on the things of the spirit, but the old world wants to pull you back in, like a vacuum, like an undertow. Because there's an undertow in the turbulence of the present world. In order to move out of the shadow realm, we need to move very deliberately into the still, into the place of deep prayer and deep contemplation. Begin to understand that we were born for one thing, and that was to go back up the mountain and to begin to move towards a union with our Creator God. This was the path of Messiah. This was the reason he came, and this was the reason that he lived the life that he lived. And he died the death that he reached. He came to show us that dying to self is the hardest death. We've not learned unconditional love. We've not learned the ways of God, which ultimately pull all things back toward himself, even the things that we call darkness and evil. Because we live in a world of duality, we live in a world where there is this distinction between good and evil. These are forces that buffet us as we make our journey. These are the things that teach us as well. You see, without darkness, there would be no distinction of light. Without evil, there could be no understanding of good, of perfect. Metaphorically, the fall of man was the statement, "Who has told you that you are naked?" And it is that self-awareness that draws us to begin to look at the external world around us, because the original creation was part of a unified spiritual domain. The progression of soul goes from the internal awareness, the separation that the child feels when the child is born. We land into this planet, into this realm, naked, as small, helpless beings, aware internally in our spirits that we have come from somewhere else, and that we have been separated from the One. And our life becomes a journey to go back to that if we are able to understand that mission. The world draws us into the great dichotomy, the place where we continue to look at the shadows instead of the substance of the spiritual creation. And so humanity is torn asunder by the forces of the world, but the soul cries, it wants to go home. The undertow draws us continually under. It keeps us connected to the turbulent forces. If you've ever seen a flying fish, it's a fish that has the ability to come up out of the water and for a brief period of time be airborne above the surface of the water from which it came. This is humanity. We understand that there is this innate ability to rise up, and yet at the same time, we briefly launch out of the water and into the ether, towards the heavens, and we get a view. And that middle view is the view that we have as we're airborne, looking above us to see sky and below us to see the water to which we again return. And thus it is with man, knowing good and evil, knowing the heights and yet knowing the depths, and knowing that each time we reach for the heights, we return to the depths. The war within is the war that kills off the lower self and reconnects to the higher self. The force that propels us will be the force that can battle the lower self, which returns to the depths and embrace the higher self. The one that lives in the heights with the Father, the reconnection to soul. The one that we're aware of because the higher self, the soul, knows who it is, knows where it comes from, and knows that ultimately it must return. And the means by which we do that is unconditional love. The dying to self, the ability to grasp that we are beings that have been separated from our original form and from our original creation for a higher purpose. It was God individuating himself for an experience. In a sense, as we cleanse the vessel, we become a vessel through which God experiences life as a human. And that's extremely weird. I've even had Paul Sandu talk about that in the shows that we did together. That there's just this idea that somehow we are a means of God experiencing separation from himself. The fallen state of man, human weakness, vanity, pride, all of the things that are part of the lower human nature, ultimately come down to one sin. The sin is selfishness. It is the obsession with ourself, and it is the source of pain. The self seeks pleasure. The self seeks release from the pain of this world, and it does so through its own means. Thus we seek pleasure as a narcotic, and like the cycle of addiction to narcotics, there's the inevitable cycle of brief ecstasy followed by the inevitable pain of withdrawal. This is the state of self. This is the constant cycles that we go through in our lives, as we cycle through duality. But the path is the path upward. As long as we keep pushing on whatever path, as long as we continue to seek the union with our Creator, we are on that path. We are moving up that mountain. And at different times, we go through what is called the wilderness. Many talk about the wilderness experience. The wilderness experience is that excruciating period of walking through landscapes that are barren to the soul and separating from the lower realm and connecting to the higher realm and the transition between the two. Our goal along the way is to reconnect to the one, and our second goal is to find the others who are on the same path that we are, and to encourage each other. The means to do this is to stay connected to the higher, to the Father. And the place that we do that is a place we carry inside us we call the still. It is the place of deep meditation and deep connection to the spiritual self, to the self that already lives in the realms of the One. And we connect with that in the deep place of connection with the Father. It is the I within us The ego I, the I that lives in flesh, the I that connects to this world, the I in every ism on this planet. That must die, and it does not die easily. It is the I that will never commit suicide. It is the I that must be killed. Because the I is a false being. The I is a creation of ego. It is a separation from the higher self and a separation from the higher creative force, which is the One, which is God, which is the Trinity, the Father, the Mother, and the Son. It is our journey as separated children to continue on this path and to encourage each other and to find the others that are lost and reach out to them. This would be what's called preaching the gospel, not the phony stuff that has been practiced under the title of evangelicalism for hundreds of years. So in a sense, what I call a ministry is really a reconnection to those who hear these audios and relate, and is the connection to those that want to truly reconnect with the One. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back on the other side, I want to talk more about the I. About the I and the ism, the schisms, the separations that we go through. About the death of self. And how we get to the place where we come into a true reunion with the One, with the Creator. This is The Threshing Floor. I'm Randy Moggins. We will be right back.
Place between life and death for you and me. Best take hold on the threshold of eternity and see the ghost on the canvas. People don't see us. Ghost on the canvas. People don't know when they're looking at soul. In between here and there, there's a place that we can grow. Spirits make love in a wheat field with crows, like a ghost on a canvas. People don't see them. Ghost on a etched on a canvas. It's the soul that makes them go.
Welcome back to The Other Side of the Threshing Floor for Labor Day, September 5th, 2011. And that was sort of a meditation, I guess, the first half hour. I just sort of launched out there. Because what I want you to see, how deeply divided the world we live in really is right now, and how turbulent it is. The war has begun. Thus, my recent article, Watchmen to Warriors, because we have to become warriors of the self, of the I, and stop focusing on the landscapes around us. The world is dividing itself right now. The systems of the world are broken asunder. I posted a second article on the blog called The Ground Beneath Them, and I'm not going to read from it, except to say that article details some very interesting things that you need to consider about some recent events and how we are being manipulated and deceived by the media around us and the world around us. What occurred last week, the 22nd, 23rd of August, with two seismic events, one in Colorado and one in Virginia and Washington, D.C. Actually, it was pretty much the eastern coast. Was the first shot in the war on American soil. It is a war that's kind of hidden because it's the war they don't want you to see, but it's the war you can see around you if you just look right now at the systems imploding. Our governments are completely locked in their ability to deal with their own problems, even as they're waging wars across the globe. The world is battling back. The Western system is shattering. The dark cabal, the global elite, can no longer sustain the weight of their imploding system. In a weird kind of way, what they're doing is they're keeping their balls in spin long enough to be able to pull out assets from the financial system, which is crumbling. Washington has been put on notice by a faction of those who are benevolent that their system is not sustainable, and that they will be brought down, and they will either be brought down with great violence or they will surrender. The age is shifting. The era of dominance of Western power, as we've seen it since the beginning of the 20th century, is ending. A It's 100 years of bloody rain. It was the building up of America and this rule of empire that followed World War II. It plays into a lot of the dark forces, a lot of the conspiracy stuff. It has to do with events that swirled in 1945, 1947. It was the turbulence of the times that we were born into. I suspect that most of my listeners are of an age that were born after this period of time. I'm talking about post-1947. I'm talking about the era when the enemy was unmasking, when global governance power was attempting to bring itself up, and it sought the powers of the dark side, the other gods, the strange gods that are discussed as ETs, aliens, the Watchers, the Nephilim, the Fallen Ones. Throughout this period of time, behind the scenes, we've seen a massive ramp up on the dark side. The technology that they were given has enabled them to rule the globe with an iron fist, and that iron fist is soon to be shattered. There are warriors on both sides, and there are those who are choosing right now to change sides. The financial system right now, deeply, deeply broken. Politics and economics and sociology and psychology and all the other ologies are simply extensions of a ruse by the global elite system to keep us from doing the things I talked about in the first half hour. Their ability to rule has largely been based on the division of mankind through the ego, through the I, through the separated self that does not reconnect to the spiritual realms above him. It is this I in every stratum of society that has armed the dark cabal. It is the I of religion, the I of nationalism, the I of patriotism, the eye in fundamentalism, and the eye of separation. The one, the creator, is many, and yet the many are of the one when we begin to reconnect. If you can kind of view God, the Father, the creator, as the center of a constellation, and what he spun out from himself are the galaxies and the star systems of humans on this planet who came here for a reason and a purpose. There is a true being within you that is part of the spirit realm. You don't give up yourself in terms of a consciousness and an awareness of who you are, but you have to begin to understand that there's a false I that formed in all of this. It was part of the fallen nature who told you were naked, who told you were separate. Having their eyes opened, they began to know good and evil. And so, like so many galaxies spun off, we are caught in the gravity of ourself. We are caught in the eye of the storm, the one eye which is us, which we focus on, the preserving of self, the false self that grew up in ego identification with flesh. The idea that we came into this life to make a living and have a family and to build a world around ourselves physically for maybe 75 years and then to perish and to wonder about what goes on beyond that existence. But we don't need to live that cycle, and we don't need to have that unknowing. We already know if we connect to our higher self, if we connect back to the soul, which already dwells with God. This is the metaphor, by the way, of the book of Revelation 144,000. They are already seated in high places. Why? Because they were always there. This is from where they descended. humanity as a creative entity exists in many universes, many galaxies, many dimensions. What we call human is not strictly confined to flesh and blood beings on planet Earth. I think if you go deep inside yourself, if you're somebody who's aware, you understand that you came from somewhere, that you've always been an existence. And this is difficult because I don't subscribe to reincarnation the way it's been taught. But I do know, for me personally, that I've been before, that I existed before I came here. And I think, if you're honest, like some of you, you've kind of always felt like you didn't belong here. I've always very much had this sense that I don't belong here. And I think that this world system agreed with me. I think for many of you, the world agreed you don't belong here. You're not part of this, but you came for a reason. Kind of like in the book of Esther, when it's spoken to Esther, who knows that you were not born for a time such as this. The book of Jeremiah, where God says that I knew you before I formed you in the womb. The idea that John the Harbinger came in the spirit of the prophet Elijah indicates that there's a foreshadowing of our spirit and who we were before we came into this present realm. The beings who come here, like the Christ, like John the Baptist, like some of the great teachers, came here with a strong mission and a strong sense of who they were. But for most of us, we came here and we got pulled down in the currents of this world. We became like the flying fish, occasionally able to come up out of the water and for that brief moment dangle between the depths and the heavens, understanding that there were two worlds and that those two worlds were intermingled, yet to fall again back into the depths, only knowing there was a place we couldn't get to. But God did not leave us here without the ability to connect and to ultimately rise up. I've used a lot of metaphors because that's the only way I can describe it. I need to give you a mental picture of something that's so deep that it's been lost to most of us. When I say I don't belong in this world, I don't mean that I wasn't sent here. It means that this world system, run by the dark cabal, run by the satanic system, would agree, I don't belong here, you don't belong here, that many of the others don't belong here, because we came here to confront darkness with a light that was born within us. And to that end, we have to choose to throw off the falseness of our existence in this world and re-embrace the spiritual being. In this comes the death of self, the death of the I, the false I that walks this worldly plane, living and breathing, eating, reproducing, working, all the things that are part of our mundane lives but are not really part of our mission. What if God tells you to walk away from your present life? What if God says to put down something that you're deeply attached to? Your family, your job, your finances. This was the mission of Christ. When he called someone and they said, but I have to go bury my father, and he said, let the dead bury the dead, what did he mean by that? Simply this. if we're not able to embrace the higher calling, if we're not able to begin dying to self on such a small level, we are in fact dead. And we are in fact unworthy of the resurrection. These are difficult things because most of us are so mainstreamed into our present reality that we are lost in the illusion of this world. We do not, in fact, understand a principle articulated as the dying of self, the dying of ego, the dying of the I. I'm not talking about the practical things, the things that we were called to do. I don't think God tells you to put down your responsibilities, but your responsibilities in this world are connected to the highest responsibility, which is to know God, to love Him, to die to yourself, to embrace the example of the Christ, and to understand that everything around you that can be broken is about to be broken. As I said, the war has begun. You can't afford the luxury of being a watchman. A watchman is on a wall. He's in a tower. This is battlefield. Boots on the ground. Time to deal with what's happening in this present reality. I think it has far less to do with 2012 than it does with the epoch that is being birthed around it. 2012, the Mayan calendar, the shift of the ages, these are all just ways of expressing something that the ancient prophets knew. And the ancient prophets were in the Bible. The ancient prophets were the prophets that were dispersed around the world among many races, nations, peoples, tongues, tribes, religions. All of these things were placed in a record of memory for this generation that was born. You walk in a landscape where you have to discern the living from the dead, because there are among us beings who are not endowed with soul. They are part of a great pantomime that is being played out. This is very difficult to talk about because we don't understand that we live in this matrix. You know, I'm still amazed because Sue Patterson actually walked right into it when she began talking about the matrix, because she was starting to understand, and maybe we'll talk to her more about this when she returns, about what the matrix really is. That it is in fact not real. That it in fact is a false realm that we were dropped down into. And that the mission statement was to first find God, find our spiritual self, and connect to the other world, which is the spiritual world, and along the path to find the others who have lost their way. Like many of you, I feel I've lost my way. I feel deeply grieved by the disconnection of my soul in terms of its mission and in terms of its connection to the higher power. And I think in a lot of ways, we're not as far along as we wish we were, and time's short. It is entirely possible to not be awakened in this present era and to lose the connection and to lose the momentum that God wants us to have in this time. But there's very quick work that can be done if we are obedient now. One of the reasons why I moved out of religion, and why I moved out of religion to such a degree that it was a shock to people, was because I myself was in a state of shock over what I had become and how lost I had become in my own religious leanings. Of how, like Cervantes Quixote, I too was tilting at windmills. I too was pointing at the monsters in the dark and never arcing the sword within, as I talked about in my writing on the blog. Arcing the sword within means that we are willing to begin crucifying the self, the I, the small I in all the isms and all the entities and all the systems and structures that we've embraced as part of the false I system, as part of the false self. We are the battlefield. It is a battlefield of the soul. We need to understand that in order to warfare without, we have to first warfare within. God wants to raise up warriors. He doesn't need any more watchmen. He doesn't need any more seats in the stadium being occupied. That's the mindset of the Romans. The stage play of gladiator battle. The fake war that occurs for the spectators and for the pageants of the Roman system. That's what that was all about. That's what religion was all about. Religion was about a dress-up play. It was about making you feel good about being bad, rather than understanding that you needed to get clean, and the way that you did that was you began to die to self. But you can't build a religion killing your congregants. And that's what religion did. It built up a system that enabled them to keep the dead alive in a system that itself was already dead. This was the windswept house called religion that was built by Rome in the wake of the great apostles. When the true church went underground, when the believers were scattered, and when the war began against them and the carnage of the Inquisitions plowed the innocent under, and it's been a 2,000-year war against the innocents. On this world, there's a small majority of innocents, a small majority of those who know who they are and what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to reconnect. And there's very little time left. But God lives outside time. Your spirit lives outside time and space. You have the ability to tap the eternal by going very deep inside and taking that sword with you. No longer as a watchman, no longer as a passive observer, but as an active participant on the battlefield of the soul to begin to kill the self, to begin to understand no greater love hath man than he lay down his life for his brother. These are the teachings of the Christ that have been lost. These are the things of the Spirit that have been buried, and these are the things of religion that must be killed in order for us to embrace our missions. The death to self is not easy because it does not die easy. The ego self wants to perpetuate the ego self. We no longer have that luxury on this planet. We no longer have the ability to continue sustaining it. If you want to live with the things of the system, you will die with the system, because the system now is dying. Let's go into the still. Father, we reconnect to you. Those who gather together here as they hear this, begin to look deep into themselves, carrying the sword, the spirit. God, we ask that you would begin to help us to kill the false self and to die to self and to die to the world and to understand that we were placed here for a mission. We were placed here at just this time in just this body and just this soul to serve you and to do your will. Father, I ask that you would touch each one. I ask that you would show us our mission, show us who we are, and reveal yourself to us and show us how deeply we need to die in the days ahead. I pray, God, that you would teach us to have open eyes to see the others who are on the path and those who have been lost, and you would give us the heart and the ability to reach them. Father, I give you all the glory and praise for the things that you're doing right now, even in the darkness. Even for the things that are violence upon the earth, because we know that your kingdom is coming. I would pray a blessing upon each one who hears this, Lord, that they would be the ones that you have chosen to hear, that you would give them the ears to hear and the eyes to see, and that the great awakening would begin to your glory. We give you thanks for all of this. We give you all honor and glory and praise in the name of your Son, our Master, our Teacher, Jesus Christ. Amen.